here at Ships of Soul from our band Andromeda, from Dr. Fred Bell's band, Voyager. Happy Halloween. I looked in the mirror and scared myself. I could have gone out tonight as myself and probably pulled that one off. I used to wear a pyramid on my head. I guess Steve Barish went out on a broom tonight, a 400-horsepower broom or something. I'm not sure what happened to him. We're trying to get on to Ustream, but it doesn't seem to be working. I've been having problems with it. And, Ryan, if you're out there, I'll hook on my computer. You can I'll put it on slave like we do and see if we can get this Ustream going. Because I've got my other sidekick, Bella Bird. She really gets mad if she doesn't get to see herself on television anymore, you know. At least we are. Tonight we're broadcasting from high in the hills of Palomar Mountains down by San Diego near where George Ademski had his famous contact experiences. And I have to say, living up here on the mountaintop now for a while is different because we're near a base and we see a lot of strange things in the sky. But other than that Andromedan ship I took a picture of, we really haven't had time to really make great observations. So just in from trick-or-treating... you didn't get any razor blade in any of your candy, did you, Steve?
No, not really. I had a wonderful dinner, though. I met some good friends, and we were just sitting around doing some energy work, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. And so what have you been doing all week, anyway? Everybody knows what I've been doing, moving stuff around, you know? What have you been doing?
I've been really massaging. I massaged 33 people this week, so I've been really quite busy.
Wow.
And, doing a lot of energy work and some new stuff, so it's I've been having a ball with it.
Wow. So what's been going on? I heard you've been playing with the receptors again.
Yeah, what I'm doing is I can actually change the vibration from one stone to another stone. So I had a customer call last night, and he was asking me about a stone. And I think he went from, if I remember correctly, blue sapphire to an emerald. And
right.
I changed the blue sapphire to an emerald frequency, and it seemed to be very good for him. So we ordered it for him.
Oh, good.
So
yeah.
That's the new stuff that I'm doing. I'm playing with that, and I'm also playing with water. And we're changing the frequency of water to different people's
energies.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with that. So we're raising the vibration of the water and actually create some really good stuff for people.
I'm just letting everybody know we have gotten a connection now with the Ustream. We are online. We are broadcasting in my sidekick out here, Bella Bird. Although the lighting isn't too good, the background isn't what it used to be because we're not in Laguna Beach. But if you could look out the window and see what the view I've got of the mountains, it'd be pretty cool. I'm going to add some cameras to the system and really upgrade it. But a lot of people love the show. So anyway, I'm glad that you're back. And have you been working with your projectors a lot this week or what?
Yeah, the projectors seem to be very interesting in the room. They're actually firing in sequence. It's a different vibration than what we've been getting, and it seems to be much brighter.
Oh, good.
So something is happening, Fred, very big. It's almost like it's almost four or five times as bright as what it has been for the last year that I've been working with, a year and a half. And so something is really happening. Very, very bright. Very, very big energy.
Yeah, well, we've got the four projectors set up in the temple back in Laguna Beach.
Oh, that's great.
And then we brought a fifth one out here. You know,
mm-hmm.
We've got it's hard to have too many of them out here because we just don't have enough of them. We got to make some more. That's what it amounts to.
Right.
We need to make more projectors. But we got with first thing. You know, what was really interesting was the star orb. We left this house out here for about over a little over a week,
mm-hmm.
and we had just gone to the store. We anticipated coming back here within a couple of days. So we went to the store and bought about $300 worth of groceries, which in a lot of it's mostly raw foods, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We put them all in this refrigerator here, and I just hooked up Star Orb to it, right? It's a big refrigerator, one of those built-in jobs, you know,
mm-hmm,
stainless steel
mm-hmm.
built-ins. The only thing I don't like about stainless steel is that you can't stick stuff to it. And magnets don't work too well. It sucks. You know, I love to put magnets and notes all over the damn thing so I can look like people on TV. You know what I mean? So anyway, we went back to Laguna, and we had food in Laguna, and we were only out here for a few days, and the food spoiled in the refrigerator. And so we got back out here, and a week later, we figured the food would be spoiled here, and it was all fresh, including the tomatoes, like we just bought it a week ago. I realized that in Laguna, our star orb had become disconnected back there. And so now the food, I couldn't figure out what was wrong here because, you know, the star orb always keeps food fresh, really, for long periods of time.
Right.
And so what happened was it got disconnected. But the one out here, I made a really good ground on it and a really good connection on it. And that puppy, that's, I mean, salad, lettuce, just crisp. And it was over a week old. It was like 8 days old.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, yeah. Are you using the star orb on your refrigerator?
I have the star orb actually in my living room.
Oh.
And it seems to be working through the whole house. So it's really seems to be doing quite good.
I find food out here in California.
Excuse me.
I find out here in California that you need to connect your refrigerator to it.
Really? I'm going to try that. I'll try that tonight when I get finished.
Yeah. Do you eat a lot of salads?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long does your lettuce last?
About 2 weeks.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's. I think the store orb hanging in the living room has a lot to do with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and but I think I'm going to connect it to the refrigerator. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll see what I'll let you know how long it lasts.
Yeah, I mean we got this house that we got here is like two wings on it. You know, it's kind of a funny looking ranch house, and there's the center part where you walk in, and the refrigerator's off in one direction, and the show is down in another section, what we call the media center down here. You know.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to put another star orb down here, but I do have a refrigerator in the garage, but I only put, you know, soda pop and water and stuff in it. I don't I don't really put anything fresh in it. So I don't know if I'll hook it up to the refrigerator here or not. We'll have to wait and see. By the way, you listeners out there, if you go to Ustream, the Dr. Fred Bell show, it is on. Show is on. I don't see any viewers. Usually we have a lot of them, but because of all the trouble we had with the system, I guess everybody gave up. But don't give up. Just go back. And this is a call-in show, by the way, so if you have any questions for you. So what do you think about the elections now? What do you think is going to happen there?
I think Obama will win.
Yeah.
I really do. He's very liberal, and he's very broad-spectrum. I think he'll do us a lot of good.
Yeah, I think he will, too. I really do. It was really good seeing him and Clinton the other night.
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah. Did you watch him on TV?
I heard about that.
Yeah, it was good. Clinton actually got into the program here a little bit, you know, which I thought was kind of cool. He was actually getting excited. I guess he finally conceded.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool.
This Obama's a pretty good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very bright man. Very bright man.
Yeah. Don, if you're listening, I don't see the show on BBS Radio. I see a slideshow going on the show, but I know it's live because I've got a good signal here now. And so anyway, if you guys look back in the studio, we'll hook that puppy up. People can watch the show on the front page of BBS Radio. It's just kind of like flashing. When are you going to hook up to Ustream?
Me?
Yeah.
Hopefully next week.
Oh, that'll be good.
Hopefully next week. I've got my my computer, and I'm learning how to operate it, so hopefully next week everything will be online for me.
Yeah, did you get Bill Gates to come over and personally instruct you, or what?
Well, I bought an Apple, so I have...
He ain't going to come over if you bought one of those. Wozniak over there.
I have...
Bill Gates has probably managed you now.
Why?
He thought you were buying some kind of a Microsoft product.
Well, that is Microsoft, isn't it?
No, Apple's a competition.
Oh, okay.
Steve Wozniak said that.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
Oh, hi. It's Bill calling from Lake Forest.
Oh, Lake Forest. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to let you know I'm trying to watch it, but it's not quite on yet. I just see the slideshow. So.
On the slideshow. give the station a call and tell them to, I'll give you the backdoor number there, here, give the station a call, because we, Ryan and I were working on this today. You know, this is the first time we've done a radio show from the Palomar Mountain Range.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool. That's
awesome. We're up about 3,500 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Weather is really cool up here. I mean, it's warm, but it's the air is so much cleaner than the coast. I couldn't believe, you know, how wonderful the air is up here. Yeah, here's the number. Just call this number, 530-876-9146.
Okay.
And then ask Don to turn on the show, because, you know, have you got Ustream over there? You can get it direct that way, but it's supposed to be on the front page of BBS Radio here.
Yeah, usually I can get it, and I see you and Isabella, and I love watching it. So
Isabella has a husband now, but he's only about six. He's born on May 23rd. They kiss a lot, but he's not ready to, you know, for prime time yet at his age. He won't stay on the shoulder. See, Isabella is about 2 years old.
Oh, my God. Well, younger men, that's not an issue for me, you know.
Younger men, but the younger guy, he's a little unstable, and he jumps all over the place. He's not ready for prime time, but we're going to get him.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Well, good for Isabella.
Yeah, you got any questions or anything for Steve? Why you got the famous Steve Barish on here?
Oh, you know what? I always do, and now I'm, like, at a loss, because I was just, I just always love listening to you guys and learn every time I hear your show, so.
Thank you.
Well, you got the man on here now, you know, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was between him and Joe the plumber that McCain was stumbling over the other night. Yeah, they almost had Steve Barish go on tour with Barack Obama.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I was wondering, I had an experience with my receptor, and I triggered some alarms in a store, and I was just wondering, is that something you've heard before? Like, I didn't have anything else on me that could have done it. Is that something it could do, or?
Yeah, you can trigger a lot of alarms. I mean, Steve, I blew up a computer once, and I think Steve's done that a couple of times, right? Steve?
Yeah, I did that with computers, yeah.
Because of the receptors being present?
I also had the projector and receptor on at the same time. But one or the other can actually do that.
Okay.
It's a very powerful necklace. That receptor is extremely powerful.
Yeah, well, it was kind of loud because all these people came up to me, and I said, here, hold my purse. It's nothing in my purse. And then they said, what is that? I'm like, well, it protects me against magnetic, you know, like different types of, you know, electrical currents. And they were all like, wow, it works.
I know. You know, people are, there's nothing wrong with our economy right now. People are just being duped by the news media. You know, they'll take a rain shower in Orange County and say, oh, there's tornadoes attached to it, just to freak people out now. That's how bad the news is.
Yeah.
And so everybody should be out buying receptors. I mean, then that's a battery charger for the projector.
That's right.
So as soon as they get the receptors, then, boom, they can start, you know, spending money again. I saw a guy that sent me an email which had a solution to our problem. It's kind of a Pleiadian solution. If we had, if the government would take $65 billion, which isn't that much, and we have approximately 200 functioning million Americans in this country, give them each a check for about $350,000 to $400,000, which you could do with that amount of money. Everybody would be, after taxes, have about $295,000. You know, everybody would.
Wow,
200 million Americans.
I love that.
That would get the economy going. That's a stimulus package,
sure.
Not $300 or $800. That's a joke. You know, and we can afford, if we can afford to spend $10 billion in Iraq every month, we can afford to, you know, fix the American public up with, you know, some spending money for Christmas.
Yeah, that would be
a
good idea.
I think everybody should write their congressman or email him and then suggest this. Because there's no reason why we can't, because the Federal Reserve will just print the extra money. I mean, that's what they do. They print money now. We print money.
Yeah, it would be better in our hands than those banks' hands, right?
Yeah.
A better solution, I think. I agree. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, I've had the, when I got my receptor, I got it few days before those fires that happened last year here.
Yeah.
And I had previously been in the fires and had gotten really sick because, my place burned, and then when I was trying to go through all my possessions and stuff, or the remains,
You got caught in the fire?
Yeah, I was out in Alpine, California at the time.
Wow.
On a ranch. And,
wow.
It was a really wild experience, kind of surreal, because the night before I was reading all about solar flares because I knew we had solar flare warnings,
Right.
And I looked up in this one book. It was a psychic, he had predicted some of the earth changes, and I read from the solar flare category. I went on to read about, they were talking about, he had this vision of everybody evacuating California, and so when I woke up, I had overslept because I was reading all night, and my neighbors tell me, well, we're evacuating, and so I'd been reading all night about evacuating.
And then you had to actually do it. You needed a projector to stop the fire.
Oh, that's what I could have stopped it with a projector?
Easily, right, Steve?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool to know about. I think I need to get a projector.
I need to have one. I'm surprised you don't have one.
I've had this for a year so far, but it was like just the basic one.
Yeah. Well, the receptor is like a battery charger to the body, to the DNA and the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And the projector is the amplifier of thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you take the receptor and put that away and then put the projector on, and it's a whole other universe, believe me.
Yeah, I really want one. But that is so cool to know you could actually stop the fires. Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I took a friend of mine down to Social Security, and the computers were off. They couldn't give her card. And under my breath, I turned on the computers.
Oh, my God.
I actually turned the computers on because they were down. And people were leaving, and they were very angry. And then the printer wasn't working. And under my breath, I said, please, printer, turn on. The printer came on instantaneously. So, these things do happen. He's not kidding around. These are real pieces of equipment.
Well, I did? I actually put all my healing stones out in my garden that night because I thought, I want them to get the effects of, whatever's happening, with the sun and everything. And then I forgot about it, and then I went back after the fires, and my whole garden was in excellent shape. None of the stakes burned or anything, and my healing stones were all perfect.
You want to have a lot of fun. You should buy yourself a master crystal and put all your stones around that master crystal. They're unbelievable. There's so much energy that goes into those crystals. It's just incredible.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. I hear you talking about that, and I totally believe, they could be exactly what you guys are talking about just from some of my experiences with small crystals, oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for this information.
And go ahead and give Don a call. Tell him to turn the show on because we don't have our number of viewers we normally have,
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll give him a call right now.
Okay, very good.
Okay, thanks. Nice talking to you guys.
Oh, good.
Bye-bye.
You got to talk to Steve Barish.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Steve, you're getting to be as famous as Joe the Plumber.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Now, how does it feel, anyway? You've had your radio show how long now?
About a year and 2 months.
Wow.
And it's been a lot of fun, Fred. It's just been really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've got quite, I know you've got, your listenership is growing and everything has been growing, right?
Yeah, yeah, it seems to be really great, Fred.
Well, I'm glad you finally got your celebrity on the air. Now we got to get you on TV. That's the next step.
Yep, that would be fun to do.
I just wanted to break in here a little bit and tell you the audio video has nothing to do with us. It's up to codes, correct. It's that you don't have it turned on or something. You're not streaming. And,
I'm not?
Well, no.
Really?
That's what she was trying to tell you, but you,
okay, well, because it says here that, okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Right. Well, I'll let you get to it. I just wanted to inform your listeners.
I got it. Okay, now check it, Don. I've had so much time. It should be streaming now. Yeah,
got it.
Hey, we've had such a problem here.
No problem. We'll check it.
Recording on, but I just realized it wasn't streaming.
Yeah.
Next time, break right in there and say, damn it, Fred, You know, I need our engineer down here. We got to move you from Paradise Valley down here to the mountains. You know? Why don't you could become my next door neighbor?
Hey,
we could have some real fun.
You bet.
That would be fun.
Pick me up a house like that. I'm your neighbor.
Doing it, you know.
All
yeah,
right,
glad, yeah, here I am blaming you for my problems. That's pretty good, though. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I was going to let it slide, but then you gave out my number so someone could phone me and complain, so I just had to figure, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, that's good.
I'll let you finish. Hey, great show, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, we're getting my problem fixed because I made the problem, you know? So anyhow, tell me about Halloween now. All Hallows Eve, you know, did you go as a receptor tonight, or did you wear go?
Yes, actually, I had my receptor on.
How did you go out tonight?
Yeah, I took my receptor with me. I wear my receptor all the time, and
yeah.
The projector I wear when I'm working, but the receptor I wear all the time.
Okay, so what happened when you were wearing it?
It became brighter, Fred. It became very bright tonight. I don't know why. I don't know what All Hallows Eve is or what it entails, but for some odd reason, the energy became brighter.
Yeah.
So
I think, I'm not sure, but Halloween, I think, was started either by Frankenstein or Dracula.
You mean Bela Lugosi, huh?
No, actually, Dracula himself, I think, started it. You know, Val the Impaler.
Hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, until they had receptors, you know, they had those kind of guys running around. And after we got the receptors going, then they all disappeared, you know.
You know, it's interesting. I've had a lot of luck with this receptor because it keeps away a lot of negative energy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
A lot of negative energy.
Funny is, though, with the projector, it works so fast. You know, I understand people are being, you know, the reluctance that people have to either getting one or if they have it, they're really trying it out.
Mm-hmm.
As I find, Mikkel has worn one for 4 months until she, mm-hmm. She overwore it a little bit. She backed off on wearing it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I get them for a few minutes and then, you know, then they get sold. You know, the ones I make, everybody
right.
wants the one I have on, so.
Right.
I can see where there's reluctance, but the things they perform. My thing with them is I'm learning how to stay focused and to focus the receptor. Now the projector, I can focus the receptor into my body. I've been doing that for years. You know, the flu comes around, all that stuff. I don't see any of it.
Right.
But when it comes to using the projector. I mean, I've been very successful with it, but I don't even know how I'm using it. I just know I'm using it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people are much more focused with it, like you are, than I am. I don't have the experience yet, even though I helped create it, you know, with the Andromedans. But it's interesting because here, where we are now, we're in the remote area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you get over here this year, you'll see how remote
right.
it is. Come out here
right.
in February, do that show.
Yes, right.
You'll see how remote it is where we are here. It'll be amazed.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because, like, yesterday afternoon I was out washing the cars, you know, and
right.
I don't have any real next-door neighbors or anything here. And we're behind the big military base down here by Oceanside. You know, not El Toro,
okay.
but anyway, it's one of the largest Marine bases in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're behind it, and here comes two helicopters. You know, black. They're all you see black helicopters with the red
right.
lights.
Right.
They're flying over, and when they fly over, there's a helicopter in front of them, but it has white lights shooting out from underneath it.
Huh.
So I had to assume it was a helicopter, but it was
right.
like a UFO helicopter, and it was leading
right.
the other two. Now, why they'd have two black helicopters with each one red light and then this funny-looking thing that sort of looked like a helicopter, but couldn't really tell because this white light was shooting out the bottom of it, and it flew over, all three of them flew over the house.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was, you know, pretty interesting, you know.
Very unique.
And then last night we saw some red lights, but we figured out that there's a remote road way on one of the mountains, because when we look out the window, you have a 360-degree view of mountaintops. We're on a mountaintop, but there's other mountaintops. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at these different mountains. Well, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning on a road that's practically never traveled, I mean, you might see a car out there once a week, there's a whole pile of cars or trucks or something going down this road that goes to nowhere in the middle of the night. I mean, late, early morning, way before you'd go to work or anything. So we're starting to gradually get hooked up to what's going on out here. We haven't had time to really get into the phenomenon of extraterrestrials, but I'm sure fairly soon that's going to start.
Well, you know, you and I have been able to see these ships up there. There's a lot of ships up there that people don't even see.
Oh, I agree.
You know, there's a lot that are cloaked, and I've seen them uncloak and cloak, and they're quite amazing, Fred, and they're very big.
Yeah.
Very
well, I took a picture of that Andromeda, which you saw.
I remember.
The Grove. And that was cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't really, you know, I know the kind of contacts I had in Laguna. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm having to, like, change my frequency and get that, you know, city frequency off of me. Because I had it for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And, come out here, and I can feel it in my aura. I mean, when I first moved to Laguna, it was like being where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't really anybody around.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it's different.
How so?
And so, I imagine this place will be screwed up in a few years, too. You know what I mean? It just makes sense that it would be. You know, if they put that road through the, you know, if I were to go from here to the ocean, it'd be about 12 or 13, maybe 14 miles direct.
Right.
But if I drive around the Marine base, then what happens is it's an hour drive.
Right.
So, and the road that goes right near our house goes onto the Marine base on the back side of it.
Wow. We got somebody on the line, Fred.
Hey, this is Kevin from Ohio.
How's Kevin in Ohio doing?
Pretty good. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, Steve's out there scaring people with a receptor.
Oh, I doubt if he was scaring anybody.
I had makeup, too, knowing Steve. Did your lipstick
scare? I probably scared myself.
Hey, I heard you guys start talking about some UFOs, so I thought I'd call in and share.
Oh, yeah. What's been happening?
Actually, this was my experience, anyway. It was around the millennium, 2000.
Yeah.
And me and my friends were staying up late watching the stars, and we had a couple close encounters with UFOs where they would just come down over the house, and that was amazing in itself.
Yeah, did you get up close and personal to them?
I personally did. They didn't land. They just came down and shot a light down.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
and
cool.
I was amazed.
Were you wearing a receptor?
No, I wasn't. I had no knowledge of that at the time. I thought I'd just call and get your guys' take on that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. You know, I just brought our Firestar. We have the Firestar over in Laguna. And anytime you have a Firestar, there's always ships flying around it. And this particular Firestar has had, in the past, ships, you know, around it. So we brought that out, but we haven't really set it up and we haven't got any lasers turned on in this place yet. And I know when you have the Firestar and lasers, things really start to happen pretty fast. So I would say probably in the next month, you know, we'll have some pretty cool reporting and probably some videos. I brought my big high-definition camera out that we use when we shoot stuff for the Rays of Truth TV.tv website. Which, have you been on that Rays of Truth.tv website?
Yes, I have. That is an excellent website for anybody looking for real information. That's really
helpful. Marco was a guy that runs it, was gone for a couple of months, but now he's back and he's really going to put some serious energy into it. He's got some really prime time videos that we did and haven't been showing on there yet. And he'll be up here. We're going to shoot some more because I like to get down in our avocado orchard where we are here now. with that big camera and hang out, and I'll bet we'll get some really good stuff. You know, we just haven't tried yet.
Yeah.
I had one other facet to my story.
Yeah, go ahead.
After we had these close encounters, probably exactly 2 weeks later, there was this, I guess, straight out of Star Wars movies, the Death Star. Not Death Star, I'm sorry. A Star Destroyer.
Wow.
Kind of came in, and it seemed like two of them cruised on through, and they have this certain noise to them that they make that I guess their propulsion or the noise that bounces off them from the Earth. Noise. And they just cruised right on by, right over the top of us. This is 2 a.m. But it almost seemed like they were there to get rid of the circle saucers. Like, they were kind of like on patrol. That was the whole feeling that me and my friend got from it. Like, they were...
Where was this, in Ohio or what?
This was actually north of Dayton, Ohio. Out in...
Where is Wright-Patterson from there?
About an hour south.
Yeah, so they could have been coming up from there.
You have the circle saucers, or...
Well, there's all kinds of... My friends of mine have been in the underground part of Wright Pat, and they've told me some amazing stories of some of the stuff that's in there, you know. So I know that it's like out here, if you're living out by Los Alamos, you'd be seeing a lot of stuff. I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Anytime I go out there, there's lots of stuff to see. But here... I mean, Wright-Patterson, there's quite a bit of things going on. That might be what you're looking at. So I would look in that direction a lot if I were you.
Did you see round saucers? Were the lights just pulsating around it?
No, actually, the ones that we would kind of pick out of the sky and almost attract to us were they had strobing and blue. And we'd always pick them out because they were the planes that never went away. And we just started talking about them and projecting our energy out to them. And sure enough, we got comfortable enough with them that they just kind of showed up and came very close.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now, if good or bad, right or wrong, I have no idea.
Well, there's no right or wrong to it. Stephen Greer used to do that with groups. He has that... Disclosure project going on, and he started out doing the same thing. He'd get groups, and we did. I used to do that too a long time ago. Now we were very successful at it. And then Eric Van Doniken used to do this down in these islands over in Spain, like Mallorca, and he would take a Firestar out. I didn't even know he was using our Firestars. This is back before we really had them developed like we do today, and they were having tremendous results. So if you have a group, you know, it seems like it brings them on. I think that very soon they're going to be more aggressive anyway towards making contact, you know, with people in our society. I just feel that's up and coming.
It almost seems like they are on permanent patrol also, at least from my stargazing. At the same time, you usually see the same strobing lights staying in a place for a while and then going... I don't know how many degrees across the stars and them staying there for a while. And you know they're not planes because, well, they usually have a cruising speed to them.
Yeah.
But
I've seen them go all different kinds of speeds. How many have you seen, Steve? Have you been pretty busy with them or not?
Yeah, I've actually, I go out to the lake and it's pitch black. And I've, as a matter of fact, I took a young lady out there 2 weeks ago. And for the last 3 months, there's a saucer, or a UFO, if you want to call it, and it actually goes up and down, and it turns at almost like a 90 degrees, and goes left to right, right to left, and then goes back up and down again. And it does it for hours. I've tried to make contact with it. I feel like I've done something with it, but It's just up there, and it's just moving around. It's just absolutely amazing to see. Matter of fact, you know what I'll do? I'll take a picture of it, Fred. I'll send it to you.
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah.
I'll take some pictures.
We'll put them up on the Rays of Truth website.
Okay, I'll do that.
How close can you get?
It's up a ways, but you can actually see it moving, Fred.
I'll bet when you get that white flamethrower, that'll bring it in closer.
Yeah. That should bring it really close.
Yeah, it should.
You know, that'll be really interesting. That'll be really interesting to use.
Yeah, so anyway, changing the subject now, you put your car away for the winter, right?
Yes, I did. It's away for the winter, and I'm sorry I did because it's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow.
70? Well, you called me the other night. You guys were having a cold spell back
there. It was freezing here, Fred, freezing.
So you've been doing some weather manipulation with your projector.
It was really nice yesterday. It's beautiful today. It's going to be close to 70 tomorrow, and all week it's going to be very, very nice. But I'm glad I put it away because I'm getting it cleaned and waxed and, you know, getting everything all clean. I'm going to put fuel injection on it next year. So.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll get it really working well.
Yeah. I got my funny car from the shop out here to Temecula. It was always been the shop for, I don't know, 6 years.
You talking about the Corvette?
Yeah. So it's street legal, but it's really not what you drive on the street. But we have this big long driveway, you know, it's very long.
Right.
Drag strip.
Right.
So we fired it up yesterday. I haven't driven it in a long time. It's 1,000 horsepower, right?
Right, right.
And we couldn't get the traction out there to get a wheel stand out of it, though. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The pavement, I think, is too fine. Where, you know, when you're on an asphalt strip,
yeah,
get better traction.
You bet.
And I didn't have any, you know, Clorox to pour on the damn thing, on the wheel, mm-hmm. so it could get mm-hmm. the burnouts going. We did some burnouts out there.
Yeah.
So I got Mikel out there. Now, Mikel...
Right.
Definitely not a hot rodder.
Mm.
So I made one small pass out the driveway with her in it.
She must have freaked.
She did. She's still shaking. I mean, you know, if you've ever been in one of those things, you know, first of all, it's loud as heck. You know, there's no
right.
It's got side exhaust pipes on it with a small restriction on it, which is nothing, just enough to create a small amount of back pressure.
Right, right, right.
And that thing comes off the line, and you can barely see because the smoke is so great.
Right, right.
Two big,
right.
huge slicks on it,
yep.
And just, you know, going for a short blast on it, it's like, you know, nothing on the road. I mean, there's no way to compare it.
Well, it's probably in G-force.
Oh, tremendous! Yeah,
you
and
know.
It's not starting to produce it as the motor. It's off the line, and it doesn't stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
So we gave Mikel a good Halloween scare.
Oh, my gosh, she must have freaked.
She did. I talked her into it. I told her she was going to, you know, probably enjoy it, but she knew she was going to freak out, but I promised her I wouldn't go very far.
Yeah.
So I gave her one short little run in it, and she didn't know what to think. She was just kind of, you know, she'd never ridden anything like that before. She doesn't ride motorcycles. She barely gets on a bicycle, you know.
Right, right.
Getting her into a funny car was real interesting.
That's got to be that had to be the ride of a lifetime.
Yeah, and I needed to film that. That would have been good, you know.
You know what I did the other night? I had my car out about a week ago, and I was at nighttime, and I was doing about 80, and
yeah.
I took my foot off the gas, and flames were coming out of both of the pipes.
Oh, isn't that
amazing.
Cool?
It's so cool to see, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People were looking over at it. You know, I could see that because it was lighting up the car next to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the carburetor running rich or what?
I think so. But I think I'm going to put fuel injection on it next year. I think it'll do a lot better with fuel injection.
Yeah, we need to get some of our magnetic products on it next year, too.
That'll be a lot of fun.
You know, the magnetizer that we put on the gas line?
Yep.
It raises the... it knocks the emissions down to zero. You can put one of our magnetizer devices. They're on our website on a car that's failing smog, and it will pass.
Wow.
And it's a lot cheaper. In California, people, sometimes can't afford to get their cars fixed because it. You know, sometimes they need a major overhaul. And it's probably, it used to be $700 or $800 on the older cars, but the newer ones are several thousand.
Right, right.
Put a $250, $300 magnetizer system on it, and then boom, you're passing smog like there's no tomorrow. I think that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great to do.
Yeah, we've done that for a lot of people.
That'd be great to do.
We get Peter Coolidge on here sometimes. You know, he talks all about it, and he was working. The gas mileage goes up about. Up to about 22%, I believe he said.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So I'm going to probably put that on one of my other cars eventually, one of my fuel-injected cars, because I think it would be a good idea. I'm not going to put it on this monster, because it's not going to... The thing will use 5 gallons in a quarter mile, you know?
Right, sure, sure.
It's not made to really drive on the street.
We have somebody else on the line, Fred.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. How you do? Good. This is Keith in Indiana.
Oh, good.
And sorry to break up your conversation on the car.
It's okay. We're just hanging out tonight.
I had a client in today with that long-lasting upper respiratory infection.
Yeah.
And a wise man told me about an antibiotic for it, and I had it a year or so ago, and I was wondering if you heard of a good one that actually worked for that, because
Lavaquin is the one that we've used.
Lavaquin?
Yeah, Lavaquin. That's the one.
That's
usually the one that works. And what I do is I have people, I'll give them three of them, and they'll take one on the spot. And then the other two, they break in half, and they take a half, you know, for 4 days.
Ah.
And that knocks it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, it really worked for me. I forgot what it was. And, I'm assuming it's from the chemtrails.
Well, there's some pretty bad viruses. Well, you know, that's the nice thing about the receptor technology is when you... get sick like that, and you use the receptor, it will do a DNA imprint in your immune system so that in the future, you won't ever get that again. You'll never have that upper respiratory problem again. I always had those as a kid. That was my weakest area.
Uh-huh.
But over the years, I've learned using this, you know, electrical precursing technology and occasionally antibiotics. Very rarely, but some, you know, including that one. I've used others too, but I mean that one worked. Your system won't need it after a while. It develops its natural immunity. But if you don't have it, if you don't have the right tools, it's a hell of a fight for a lot of people. It can last for months.
It's
nasty. It always starts as a virus, like they all do, and then it settles. And so you can't use the antibiotic. You got to wait till it gets to a certain point. And if you use the antibiotic up front, it doesn't do anything. You know, it's a waste of time. You got to wait 2 or 3 days until you get to the right point where the gram negative stuff starts, and then you can use it.
Yeah, and I kind of suggest, you know, if it hangs on, is the only time to pull out the big guns.
Yeah, we're not antibiotic perpetuators out here, but we've. Help people. You get a person that's totally never eaten meat and totally a vegetarian, the homeopathy works very well with them. It might take them an extra day or two, but they'll recover just about as fast, you know. And so we use homeopathy, but a lot of different, you know, remedies that are available at the health food stores. But
right.
Some people that have a more ruggedized system... homeopathy is a little slow for them. This is what I've noticed, you know, working with a lot of people over the years.
I noticed that in the last couple of days we've had a lot of chemtrails here in Rochester, and the interesting thing about the receptor is that it gets brighter. So it does knock out different things. So I look at my back once in a while. Maybe every 4 or 5 days, and I can actually see the light brighter when there's chemtrails, so I know that the receptor is really working.
The way to notice it working is if you're getting into flu season like we are, take it off and go hang out with people for a while in the, you know, shopping centers and restaurants and places like that. Just see what it does, because I guarantee you, without the you take that receptor off and you'll see what it does. You know, because you'll be missing it real quick. A lot of people until they take it off the first time and forget it or something for a few days, then they really notice it. You know,
certainly I've turned around and driven back home to get mine if I realize I'm out without it.
Yeah, I've done the same thing, and I notice it right away. I don't have to wait very long once I get going, because as soon as when you're in your house, it's like a temple environment anyway, and your severity levels are very high, so you're not really thinking about, you know, who's that person or that person when you look at them, because when you look at people, you're identifying energies and personalities, and when you're in your house, it's already done. You've identified, but when you get out, you start that process of sorting things out, then you notice it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no protection.
Yes. Now I've got a projector, and I've learned to wear it. Like when I work, and I was when I first got it. You know, I just I wore it out, and it's like I feel much better with just the receptor on, and when I have quiet time or I'm working or something, a projector feels like it's appropriate at that time.
Yeah. So, a lot of people will be reluctant because they've had good luck with the receptor. They don't understand that there's another experience out there.
Oh, yeah.
The only way I can describe it. But once you've had that other experience, and, you know, sometimes people will buy both of them, and they'll wear them both because they're really afraid to separate them somehow. Some subconscious thing makes them fearful of separating them. But when you finally get them to separate them, and preferably they put the projector away for a while, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, and get into the receptor, and then take the receptor off and put the projector on, then they really are amazed, and they realize it was silly to be afraid of it. But some people really are afraid of them, even though they buy them, they're still afraid of them. Yeah, it's interesting.
This was several years ago when you first came out with the projector, I took a couple of the photos off the website and put them on my monitor and blew them up as big as I could, and I just would have them on there, and I occasionally would work with them, and I swear I got some results.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so it got me thinking, for one, a good high-res photo, and then what about like those 3D stickers, things that are on the credit cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, actually,
the holograms.
Yeah, making a holographic one, you could make it really large. It might be a way to get it to more people.
Yeah, we're working on the X1 healing machine, and we're using a holographic projection system and a special little eye, you know, like a screen that you put over your face, but it's like a pair of glasses.
Oh.
And we're actually going to create a hologram, and we're using real projectors mounted on a cathode ray tube or a LED screen simultaneous with it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get the energy and the field, and then we have a sound system that goes with it, and that's how the X1 healing machine works. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's an actual virtual reality tour of getting your body fixed up in a cool way, you know, with some real cool visuals and stuff.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, we need that terribly now. There's so many people to get, treatment. It makes me think about, you know, wide-range, cheap things that can be disseminated.
Yeah.
Have you seen the wine test to do for the Morgellons? Where you?
No.
It's on the website that's all about it. You take wine, some red wine in your mouth, and hold it for 30 seconds or so and spit it into a glass. Do that, I think, like five times. And then you leave it for a while and come back and you can see fibers.
Mm. Is that like people that have the Morgellons disease?
Yes, which would be all of us, as
yeah.
far as having fibers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Near as I can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to enjoy being outside anymore. And the only thing in Indiana, I moved here from Tucson, is looking up because it's all flat. And there's those trails going down.
Yeah.
So it makes me think about anything that can be done to remove those. I mean, you must be anticipating some sort of surge in it. I mean, I think that it a build-up process, and they trigger it, or you just, if you're susceptible, you'll start having serious problems, or with the Morgellons.
Yeah. All right, I guess we got to get off the air.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't even know if the timing is right, but I have, what time do you have, Steve? I have like 6:57.
I have 1 minute before 10.
Okay, so I'm my computers are off out here too. I'm having a real problem, and I apologize to all my viewers out there that we're having problems with timing, and we finally got the Ustream on. I've got some viewers coming up now, but we got to shut the show down. I did record the entire show, even the broadcast was a little late, so that will be available in the archives. So thanks, callers. We had a good show. Thanks, Steve, for being on and not scaring us with your outfit. You know, we're going to be signing off here momentarily. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And we will be back next week. Probably have Steve on again next week and continue this conversation. We'll be a little more fired up. Maybe his stuff will work a little better.
Cool.
Talk to you in a bit. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.